Shabbat Shalom. We are so blessed. The Lord has provided us with a nice, warm, dry place to gather in His name. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we just ask that You, Lord, would speak to our hearts this morning through Your Word, by Your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding. And let us truly rest in You and hear from You today. Amen. Genesis 44:18 through 47:27 is this week's Parsha. Last week, we heard how Joseph's imprisonment finally ended after he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and advised him to prepare for his 7 years of coming famine. Greatly impressed by Joseph, Pharaoh then put him in charge over all of Egypt. The famine then spread throughout the region, and Jacob sent 10 of his sons to Egypt to buy grain, but kept Benjamin home for fear of his safety. When they arrived, Joseph recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. Now, at first glance, you would think, ha ha ha, it's Joseph's revenge. Payback. You know? But as we go through the story, we know that's not how the story goes. When his brothers protested their innocence after he had put a protested their innocence about being spies, Joseph demanded that they confirm their story by bringing Benjamin to Egypt and then imprisoned Simeon as a hostage. When they returned home, Jacob agreed to send his youngest son but made Judah swear for his safety. Joseph received them and held a feast for them and released Simeon. When they went to leave the next day, Joseph had Benjamin arrested because Joseph planted his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. This is where this week's Parsha begins. Begins with Judah's plea for Benjamin. Judah approaches Joseph to plead for the release of Benjamin, offering himself as a slave to the Egyptian ruler instead of Benjamin. Upon witnessing his brother's loyalty to one another, Joseph reveals his identity to them. The paraphrased story goes like this. Before Judah and the other brothers, Joseph sends all the present Egyptians from the room. He can't bear the responsibility or the possibility of humiliation, and he can't bear remaining hidden from his brothers. Judah has stirred something in his heart. He weeps, he wails. All the Egyptians, now out of the room, hear the outpouring. "I am Joseph," he screams. "Is my father still alive?" Joseph's brothers are speechless in shame. He draws them closer and consoles them. "I am your brother, and yes, you sold me into slavery, but do not be ashamed. Do not beat yourselves up. You were and are a part of God's plan. I had come down to Egypt. I had to. Thank you. Now go to our father and tell him, God has made Joseph a master over all Egyptians. Come to Egypt with all you have. I will sustain you here." The brothers just look at him speechless. After what they've done, what do you say? What do you say? Here's the key. The brothers are overcome by shame and remorse, but Joseph comforts them. "If it was not you who sent me here," he says, "but God, and it has been ordained from above to save us and the entire region from famine." The brothers rush back to Canaan with the news. Jacob comes to Egypt with his sons and their families, 70 in all, and is reunited with his beloved son after 22 years. On his way to Egypt, Jacob receives the divine promise. "Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will there make you a great nation. I will go down with you into Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again." Joseph gathers the wealth of Egypt by selling food and seed during the famine. Pharaoh gives Jacob's family the fertile country of Goshen to settle. The children of Israel prosper in their Egyptian exile. Here's what we can take away. When faced with trials, we have choices. We can trust our own circumstances to the Lord or deal with them in our own strength and probably not do very well at that. Many of us concentrate on what God is not doing in our lives. We get stuck treating God like a genie, thinking if we jump through so many hoops that he will somehow grant us whatever we want. Not so. That's not how it works. And that's why we all need to get to the place where Joseph was, trusting God despite our circumstances. As I was preparing for this week, I came across a story I want to share that fits right into it. It goes like this. One Sunday morning at a small southern church, the new pastor called on one of his older deacons to lead in the opening prayer. The deacon stood up, bowed his head, and he said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and wondered, where was this going? The deacon continued, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was totally perplexed. The deacon continued, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour, but after you mix them all together and bake them in a hot oven, I just love biscuits. Lord, help us to realize when life gets hard and when things come up that we don't like, whatever we don't understand what you are doing, that we need to wait and see what you're making. After you get through mixing and baking, it'll probably be something even better than the biscuits." The lessons we can learn from Joseph's life: God's plans and purposes are far greater than our own. God provides and blesses those who persevere to follow him. God honors patience and perseverance in times of troubles. Strive for honesty and strong work ethics. Unfortunately, they are sadly missing in our society today. Stand fast. Do not compromise your beliefs or your morals for the sake of instant gratification. Joseph did not compromise, and God blessed him for that. When was the last time God did something exactly the way you wanted him to? Anybody? No? Or exactly as you expected? Sometimes God does things in a way that we don't understand. We need to trust him. He knows what's best. Hindsight is 20/20. We've all heard that. Only after the fact do we normally see why God did things a certain way. Our ways are not his ways. God did things my way, we'd all be in trouble. When we find ourselves in a tough situation, we need to surrender to God, get excited about what he will do, and just go along for the ride. Shabbat Shalom.